soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
For Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro, remate de gol! Gol de oro! Gol de oro! Gol de Uribe!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. It's bilingual, 713-CALL-NOW. Here's what we have coming up in the second hour. By the way, shout out to all of our sponsors, too. Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture, The Great Cactus Music and Quinn, Hugh O'Connor's Pub. Go over there and talk to Dave and Goose. That is a real authentic soccer watching experience over in the Marquee Entertainment Center, Hugh O'Connor's Pub. So a big thank you to everybody who has supported this show. All right, so here's what we got coming up here in the second hour. We've got to close the show tonight, and Cougar Nation, I'm summoning you. Jaime Frias grew up playing soccer on the fields here in Houston, Texas. He's been a youth international coach for the United States on the women's side, assistant coach at the University of Virginia, head coach other places in the college game. He is now the head coach of U of H. They come off a win against WVU. That's how we end it tonight. Prior to that, we'll have Paul Dolan of Apple TV, has represented Canada well over 50 times in goal. Certainly Pat Onstad and him know each other from their days representing Canada. Paul's got some great insight on Montreal as well and the type of club that they are and what the Dynamo might encounter tomorrow night to add to what we've already talked about. But first, we bring on Jose Artur de Lima Jr. Who do you think he is? Well, you know he's from Brazil, right, with all those names. He has been an incredible signing for the Houston Dynamo. I started my interview with him earlier today before their flight to Montreal by asking him about the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup win.
It's amazing. You know, we worked the whole year for that. It's not easy to get to that point, and especially to win it. So it's a special feeling. The whole group should be proud, and it's good. You know, that's what we want to do here. Keep winning trophies and get to the finals, and it's a very happy feeling.
So when you were signed, I was like, wow, this is a great signing. This is a fundamental piece of going forward based on the last rosters. How is this team in your eyes? How has it evolved over the course of the season? Because it's an amazing story to see the evolution to where you are now.
Yeah, it's good. It has improved a lot. There was a lot of new players, new style. And in my view, it improved a lot. A lot of players got to know each other better and adapt on how each other plays. And I think that's important. On the other side, everybody's like great professional, great group of players. And that makes a difference, you know, because everybody wants to help each other. Everybody wants to win as a group. And that's what is important. It's not only good players, but also we try to build a good culture. So it's a good environment. And for me, it has improved on and off the field.
He's Artur. He's the Dynamo midfielder from Brazil. Won an MLS Cup in Columbus. Has been outstanding this year. All right. So I look at you as a model of consistency. And I think that's the best thing that could be said about a soccer player. At what point in your career does consistency become a big part of your understanding of how to develop as a player?
The beginning when I was a little younger, it was a little bit inconsistent, and I saw that I should get better on that. And I think it's very important, especially with the amount of games we play now. Every year it's adding more games. And to me, it makes a difference because sometimes you don't have your body 100% with all the minutes, but you have the mentality and the experience on how to deal with it. And I think it's important because every game matters. Every point makes a difference. And to me, it was good to improve on that area.
When you play in MLS, do you feel the intensity, lift, with four or five games, six games to go? Can you feel that?
Yeah. It's different, especially when you see what's on the end of the line. It makes a difference in how important it is. And it's good. We should have more fuel in the end of the season because there is more at stake.
So you've played over 2,000 minutes. I mean, you've been durable.
I didn't know that.
You've played a lot of minutes, okay? So this is pretty remarkable. I just want to kind of touch base on this schedule and how tough it is to regenerate and get your rest because, we've seen some players now in the league have come out speaking about it, Andre Blake of the Philadelphia Union, about the schedule and how crazy it is. And I'm just sitting here going, I'm a guy sitting in a booth on TV. How can I be critical of anything anybody's doing out here because of the amount of minutes and games they have played? So maybe just a word on the schedule and just how you regenerate.
Yeah. It's difficult. It's difficult, especially because of how intense the games are here. And it's the quality has been growing so much and there is no easy games anymore. And every game matters. It's difficult. It's a lot of games. Maybe the schedule could be a little bit better in regards of the year. Sometimes we have a long break with no games, and then all of a sudden we have like three games in 1 week and maybe like six games in 2 weeks. And it's difficult because the body feels, the mind feels it. It's not only physically, but mentally it's difficult as well. I haven't gave a lot of thought on that. So, I'm not going to just speak out of my mind because sometimes you can say something that's not actually how I feel, but it feels difficult. It's hard on the body. It's hard on the mind because especially here we are winners. We want to win. And sometimes the body's not there. The mind, it's feeling tired and it's difficult. But it's also a point that it shows that the league is growing. So that's a good side because all the big leagues, they play a lot as well. So it's just to find a balance. But I think it's also important for the league to keep growing. So there is a balance on that.
Dynamo midfielder Artur joining us. Don't forget tomorrow night, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We have the call of the Dynamo in Montreal. When I look at you and the effort you guys put in, I know that players on Wednesday, and not just on the Houston Dynamo, throughout the league, we're going on the field mentally and physically fatigued. That's 100% correct, right?
Right. Yeah. It happens. It's a long year. It's like the longest season of every sport, I think. And it's difficult. It's a lot of players are away from their families, different country. The games are demanding, so mentally also you get tired. So I think you can feel that, especially on the end at the end of the season.
When you're fatigued, how do you play the game differently? Because you have to play it a little bit more, maybe with your mind. How do you play it differently in your mind?
You gotta find a balance because sometimes there are some players that you see the space and that you can go. But then when the body is tired, the mind is tired, maybe you take a decision of not going and keeping the ball instead. Because when the body's tired, you almost never have the 100% quality that you usually have. So mistakes can happen. And that's when you start to choose and pick the moments where you can attack. And also when you defend, you don't get stretched. You try to defend a little bit more compact. So it's a whole group communication and understanding the moments and also that the body, sometimes the body is not 100%. It's not the moment to go. It's not the moment to press and just reading the game.
Artur joining us here again ahead of the Montreal game. And, look, you guys have an excellent midfield. I mean, I put your midfield up against any in the league. I want to focus in on the relationship you have with Hector. and how this flows so wonderfully, right? It's almost like the two of you are playing with the same mind. Just kind of speak to that relationship and how it's blossomed and how you guys work together in the course of a game in the busiest area of the field.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. Like, I'm very happy to be playing alongside him. It's easy because I think we kind of think similar to each other. Whenever we talk and we talk about the game, we talk about how we need to play and how we need to address the game. We think alike. It's very similar. So I think that helps on us understanding each other on what foot to give the pass. If it is a first touch, if it is a first touch pass, or if it is to turn, or so, like, just giving support, and it's natural because I think we think alike a lot. So it helps. And he makes the game easier for me. I try to make the game easier for him. So I think it's a balance of, and completing each other.
You know, when we have watched some of the teams in the past, the ball didn't move as quick. Obviously there's a roster turnover and differing players, but you know, it really looks like you guys try to get the ball to people's feet as quick as possible so they have a little bit more time on it.
Yeah, yeah, that's the part of the game also that we try to have, and we talk about a lot about that, on having the teammates on the best spot and helping them when we give the ball. It's not only pass to give the ball to them. It's passing with a purpose on what they need to do next. So it's something that we talked about, and we try to do all the time and communicate with the teammates so they help us and we help them. And that's kind of how we view the game and the coaching staff as well.
Artur, are these the little things that separate the better teams?
Yeah, yeah, I think so. It's not only showing up and playing, right? There is things that you can do to make the game easier, but also how you prepare and the things you know you need to have to win games. It's not only quality. It's not only running. You got to understand and read the game. And I think we have an experienced team and people that want to learn and professional players. And that's helping us to get closer to our objective this season.
I look at you as a quiet leader, simply because of what you produce game in and game out. I think people can look to you and just say, wow, you know, every game he's consistent. But it's tough, that position where you are. And some may say it's the most difficult position in the game now and the most important. It's almost like you have to have eyes in the back of your head because you get pressure from so many areas. And I just watch you kind of dribble out of pressure. And sometimes I smile because it's so smooth and it almost looks so easy, even though I know it isn't. How much is it about, you know, awareness, knowing what's around you before you receive the ball, situations? How much of it is that?
Yeah, it's a lot of that. It's looking in the shoulder even before receiving the ball. And I try a lot to look where my teammates are, even when I don't have the ball. So maybe I can play a one touch pass or like just turning and sometimes just attracting the opponents. Sometimes I just get closer to receive and give the ball back so somebody else is open behind me. So I try to think a little bit about that. And like you said, sometimes people don't see it, and think it's just so simple, but it's trying to have my teammates on the best areas and receiving the ball with more time, because I know they're gonna make the difference. I am a little bit deeper position and closer to my goal, so I try to help in the build up and protecting the counterattacks and defending better. But also, I like to give my teammates a better opportunity to create and to play better. And yeah, it's just reading the game and looking my shoulder, try to look my shoulders and see how things are before and where the space is.
Well, don't worry. We see it. Trust me. We see it. We're talking to Dynamo midfielder Artur. Okay, the team, you know, it's a narrow team, right? You play the game narrow. You've got great combination play aesthetically. It's so much fun to watch this team now and to watch you guys, the way you play the game, the purpose of play. is exciting. Speak to a little bit of Griffin Dorsey, though, and what he's brought from the standpoint of adding a little bit of width to your team. And you know, the team kind of changed with his emergence in a lot of ways, result-wise.
Yeah, I agree with you. He's given us so much. It improved our game a lot because, like you said, we always had a lot of connections in the middle and good build-ups and creating plays. And then teams start to adapt on that and closing us and pressing us more in the middle. And Griff gives us a very good opportunity on the flanks with his speed and his quality on the final play. And it makes easier for us because they start to get worried also wide. So it makes more space all over the field, and it's good. And I'm very happy for him because he's a great professional. He waited for his opportunity and like with the heads up and always wanting to help the team. So it goes back on what I said about the group and how everybody wants to be a part of it and no egos. And he's a perfect image of that. He waited his opportunity and he's making a difference for us, a difference. And yeah, like I said, he's making a difference. Wide, it's a good escape for us.
All right, Artur, two quick questions. We're going to let you go. We're going to have a little fun with this. Who does better grilling and meats, Argentina or Brazil?
Brazil, no doubt. No doubt.
Talk about a softball question, right? Favorite music? Bands?
Oh, dance? I don't dance. I can't dance.
No, bands.
I like to dance.
Bands.
Oh, bands? Bands? I'm going to say American one because his music helped me with in English because I never studied English. I always like learned from my teammates and with music. And it's Eminem.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Unbelievable. So, good
like,
call.
He speaks a lot of different words that it's like sounds hard. And his music helps me speak English. So Eminem is my favorite here. Yeah.
I have a feeling there's some Eminem words you could use to your teammates during the course of a game, right?
A couple of them.
They could be inspirational, right?
Yeah, there's a lot.
Artur Pelé, what has he meant to you?
It's an inspiration for us, you know? Like when we grow up, it was our dream to be like Pelé and to do what he's done. And for us, it was... like a big idol for everybody. When you talked about soccer, you talked about Pelé. So for us, it's a motive of feeling proud.
Artur, thank you so much. And by the way, I heard you say you can't dance. Come on, you're Brazilian. Of course you can dance. I just think you haven't tapped into your inner dance.
Yeah, my hips feels very sore after the game, so it doesn't work that well.
Fair enough. You dance on the field, though, that's for sure. Artur, thank you very much for coming on the show tonight.
No, thank you, Glenn. Appreciate it.
Mr. Bombastic. This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Hey, by the way, Spotify, Apple, Google, subscribe to the podcast or wherever your heart desires. Also at ESPN975.com. Next segment brought to you by DanishInspirations.com, the best in modern contemporary furniture, DanishInspirations.com. Get over there to Fondren, stressless line. My house is full of it, and it makes for very comfortable soccer watching. Great opportunity to catch up here. He is with Apple TV, color analyst, former national team goalkeeper for Canada, and has done longtime coverage of Major League Soccer. He's Paul Dolan. Paul, thanks again for coming on.
Anytime, Glenn. Glad to be with you again.
All right. We appreciate you having on. Very good to have you on ahead of the Dynamo at Montreal. Montreal 11-16-4, ninth in the table. How about just some overall thoughts on this season here after a spectacular year in 2022, getting to the playoffs under Wilfred Nancy, and then this year under the new manager, Hernan Losada?
I think the overriding thing going into this season was Montreal is a selling team. Not only did they sell some of their players, they sold their best players. They got a good return in terms of the amount of money that they got. But the question going in was losing your manager, who is considered one of the best young managers in MLS, and we've seen that since he's moved to Columbus, Wilfred Nancy, losing Alistair Johnston, losing Ishmael Kone. You know, the list went on. Kai Kamara left. The number of players who left and the quality of players who left, you felt like this team had no chance under a new manager in Hernan Losada, a new goalkeeper as well. But they started out okay. They managed to get some points. And at one point, they looked, I don't want to say comfortable in the East, because nobody seems to be, and nobody seems to be wanting to win that last 8 or 9 spot in the East. I think it's been 6 games since Montreal has won a game. But there was a spell where they had a good thing going. They looked strong in the Leagues Cup. I called their matches there. They had a storming 2-0 advantage over Pumas. Things looked dead and buried. Pumas came back and tied that game, but Montreal ended up winning in the shootout, and it looked like they would advance in the Leagues Cup, and then they laid an egg against DC United. So that's kind of been typical of their season, although has to be said, they've been very strong at home for a good portion of the year. It's been impossible to score against Montreal at home. So that will be the challenge, I think, for Houston going into this game, is which Montreal will you get and how difficult will it be to break them down? I know Houston's flying right now as well. So I'd actually favor, just the way that things are going in the run of form, that Houston would be the favorite in this match.
Even without Hector Herrera, who's out suspended?
That is a huge one. He's been so key to their attack. But I still feel with the confidence that that team has right now, where they're trying to get to in the Western Conference standings, and just the form that they're in versus a team that just, as I say, I think it's 6 on the trot now without a victory for Montreal. They just can't seem to find their way. Romel Chiodo was injured for a good part of the season. He's come back into the lineup and hasn't looked the same as he did beforehand. So they're experimenting a little bit, and it just hasn't resulted in anything except back-to-back losses by 3 goals each.
4 losses and 6, 2 draws. It's a team that's 9-4-2 at home. Not a good road record at 2-12-2. So that synopsis you gave us was excellent here at the top of this interview. So I want to go back to that. You mentioned Montreal is a buying and selling club. How does that jive with the fans? I mean, do the fans believe this is a team trying to win MLS Cups? Or is it, you know, a club that's more interested in being buying and selling without really full out going for trophies? Because, you know, you want to win something with people before you sell them, don't you?
You know, what's funny, Glenn, is that of the 22 games that I've done in stadia this year for Apple TV, the single best atmosphere that I was witness to was at Stade Saputo, and it was for the game against Pumas. And granted, obviously some of the traveling contingent from Mexico helped that atmosphere, but it had a cup-like atmosphere. And so I think the Montreal fans, if they feel they're in with a chance of seeing a playoff team and seeing a team grow, they'll get behind this squad. It was phenomenal on the night. And there have been moments when you look at the stadium throughout the season where there is very, very good support. It only holds about 18, 19,000, but they regularly get close to filling it. And I think they're okay, because as much as they don't want to be a club that's always going to be fighting for that last playoff spot, as long as there is that chance and they're seeing young players come through, that has been the key, I think, to the continued success, or the chance that they're even having to get into the playoffs this year, is because of some of the young players that have come through. And Nathan Saliba is the one that kind of stands out for me. But Jules Vicente as well, who was injured, but he was getting some good minutes coming off the bench and then started a couple of games. And he's another player like Ishmael Kone, who came through the system, then was sold to Watford, who I think a lot of people feel this can be a real up-and-coming player. Zachary Broguiard is another player that is not so young anymore, but was part of the Canadian World Cup squad and has kind of tailed off a little bit. Sammy Piet, another Canadian. So I think that part is what excites people. And of course, probably their best player this year is Mathieu Chouinard. He made the All-Star team. He was outstanding up until that time. It's been not quite as solid or standout since then. But there's another good young Canadian player coming through the system that has filled in as much as you can for those star players that left.
Juanair, by the way, I was practicing that pronunciation last night. So I appreciate you bringing that up. But basically what you're telling me is it's not just necessarily about trophies. It's other things that engage the Montreal fan. And you don't want it to be one thing, but it is other things that appeal to the fan base of CF Montreal.
You're right. And I think, you know, I look at where I'm based in Vancouver, and it's the same thing here, is if you're not going to be a contending team, you want to see players that you're developing either for the national team or for future Whitecap teams that are going to be improving. And so I think that's where there's been some frustration in Vancouver over the years. And I think it's the same in any MLS market. They want to see good young talent coming through the pipes. And if that talent is good enough to move on, let's use Miggy Almiron, for instance, as just one example out of Atlanta.
But you won championships with him. You won with him, right? Like, I could make the example of FC Dallas. They've moved a lot of guys on, but they move them on sometimes before you've maybe won something big with them, right? So I guess there's just different ways of going about it.
Yeah. And I shouldn't make light of the fact that the Montreal fans want to see a winning team. You know, they're used to, and I'm going old school here because I'm a Montreal Canadiens fan myself, but that team is everything the city speaks about, the Montreal Canadiens hockey team. It's the king of the castle there. Yeah. So everything is benchmarked against that team. Now, mind you, the Montreal Canadiens haven't won a cup since 1993. So it's not as if, you know, the new fan of people who are 30 years old or younger know anything about any success for their hockey team there. But just like any MLS market, you want to have a contending and a winning team. And same as Houston, you know, if those players are being moved on before they've won championships, okay, that's fine. Use that money to bring in another young player. But at some point, you want to see the end result, don't you? So I think there is some frustration in Montreal, don't get me wrong. But the fact that they've been able to compete this year and doing it with some young French Canadian players, I think has appeased that somewhat anyway.
Talking to Paul Dolan, Apple TV, Canadian national team goalkeeper. By the way, when I was a kid, I was a Rangers fan, and we never forget the Roadrunner, Yvonne Cornoyer, Ken Dryden, Mahovlich. Oh my God, the names were Jean Beliveau, right?
Yeah, well, I wore 29 because of Ken Dryden throughout my soccer career. So
unbelievable. See, yeah, there's a fact that did we just break that here on the show tonight?
That's breaking news for
That's
you.
That's breaking so news. So see, all you Canadian fans that might be tuning in tonight, you just learned something from Paul Dolan. He took the number because of Ken Dryden. Man, he was unbeatable. All right, let's get back to soccer here, though, in Montreal. You know, the youth movement, the type of team that goes into this game against the Houston Dynamo tomorrow night, why 9-4-2 at home and why 2-12-2 on the road? Why is the road so difficult, and why are they better at home, and how different are they playing maybe at home?
I would answer the away one first, and I think simply so many teams have struggled away from home. The travel in MLS, as you know, is very difficult, especially in a congested schedule. But and I guess that conversely also is the reason why they have done it well, is teams have struggled to come in there. You know, they are quite solid defensively. The play of the goalkeeper this year, Jonathan Sirois, is probably the most surprising. As good as Mathieu Chouinard has been, and it has been a pleasant surprise, the play of their goalkeeper has blown me away personally. Jonathan Sirois was in the Canadian Premier League last year. He was actually the backup for the Whitecaps in the MLS's back tournament in Orlando as an emergency goalkeeper when Maxime Crépeau was injured, and then Thomas Assal became the starter. So that was kind of a fun fact, is, okay, who's this young kid who's the Montreal number three? And all of a sudden, he's been elevated to a position where he's the number one goalkeeper in Montreal. And he has stood on his head. And when we spoke to Hernan Losada ahead of the Leagues Cup the last time I did one of their games, he brought that up as this player has just been phenomenal for us and is a big reason why we've kept clean sheets at home. So it's not just down to him, but the defense has been solid. Now they've lost Rudy Camacho. So it's a little bit of a different back three than what we saw earlier in the year. And you can say that in their last two games, they've been breached rather easily. So that's, I think, something that they might want to readdress. And even the goalkeeper hasn't been able to help them out in that regard. But It's a little bit changed also throughout the team in terms of the way they've set up with the 3-4-2-1 now. But I do feel that that is a fluid formation that they might change again for Houston, depending on what they want to do and no Hector Herrera, because they do like to adapt in game. But to answer the question as to why they've been so good at home, I think a lot of it has been down to the goalkeeping and the back four, at least to start the year.
Talking to Paul Dolan, Canadian national team as a goalkeeper, longtime coverage of Major League Soccer. He's been doing it for so many years and is on the Apple TV broadcasts. So the last time they played at home, this is interesting because you mentioned at Orlando, they lost 3-0 on the road. Prior to that, they lost at Atlanta 4-1. They conceded 7 in 2 games. Yet before going on the road, they drew 1-1 with Cincinnati at home and had them 1-0 until a late penalty kick from Luciano Acosta. It really is a Jekyll and Hyde movement here.
And that Cincinnati game, too, you mentioned how late that equalizer was. And unfortunately, that was a goalkeeper error. It was just a lump ball towards the edge of the area. And Sirwa came out of almost nowhere to clatter the Cincinnati forward, gave away the penalty in the dying moments. Because that would have been a huge victory, obviously not just for saying that you've beaten the what ended up being the Supporters Shield champion this year, but 3 points in that Eastern Conference race where they ended up having to just settle for the one. But you're right, it's a bit Jekyll and Hyde in that they've shown they can compete against the best teams in the league, and then at the same token, they're thumped in back-to-back games. So my question is, what team do we see come out for this game against Houston? The fact that Hector Herrera isn't there maybe gives them a little bit of a mental bump because of how good Herrera has been. But I still think it's a strong team that they have to contend with in Houston. And I just feel like the Dynamo is probably going to be the stronger of the two 11s that start the game.
Romel Kyoto is a former Dynamo, had 15 goals last year, 2022. Great season under Wilfried Nancy. They get to the playoffs. They sell players. Kyoto has been injured, as you mentioned prior in this interview. But just talk about why he fits in so well in Montreal.
I think he scores goals. that's what you want your center forward to be doing, right? Is getting onto the end of things. He's a relatively hardworking player as well. He can play either as a solo forward, or you can play alongside another center forward. I thought his combination with Kai Kamara last year was really good. That was one for me that I feel, and maybe we've seen it multiple times, obviously with Kai moving from one team to the next, but relatively inexpensive fix to keep a Kai Kamara, and they were fantastic together last year. So I thought that was a big loss too, but Kyoto started the season relatively well, but he was injured for such a long period of time that it's actually been hard for him to kind of get back up to running. But when he does get going, now he's got the supply from Bryce Duke, who I think was a good pickup as well. When they traded at the time, I thought this was a horrible move to move Kamal Miller, who is so solid in the center of the back, World Cup player from Canada, down to Miami. They pick up Ariel Lassiter, who, again, a player you're familiar with, who doesn't necessarily light the field on fire all the time, but when he has good games, can be a really good contributor. And I've seen him do that for Montreal, especially in a wide position this year, alongside with Bryce Duke. And they've been able to supply enough to keep Montreal in games up front.
Real quick on Romel Kyoto. Is he playing as an out-and-out center forward? I mean, is his starting position central, or is he a wide guy like everybody here in Houston that may be listening to the show saw?
Yeah, and just kind of a personal anecdote, or one that where we saw originally Romel Kyoto playing for Olympico back with the Honduran team against the Whitecaps in a CONCACAF Champions League. And I don't know if you remember this, but before he went to Houston, he slammed into the goalkeeper at the time. I forget the fellow's name, the Italian goalkeeper. It was the cup keeper, Paolo Tornaghi. That was his name. And Kyoto had to end up staying a couple of nights in a Vancouver hotel. I think it was a punctured lung and a rib and whatnot. So I've had an eye, let's just say, on Romel Kyoto all the way since back then. So I've really enjoyed what I've seen from him as either an out-and-out striker, which he had played in the last game against Orlando, or alongside, say, Kai Kamara, or sometimes Bryce Duke will even join him right up top. But as it stands right now, he's playing in that center forward position. He obviously hasn't seen a lot of service away from home in the last game in particular where they lost in Orlando. But I would think at home that they'll stick to the 3-4-2-1 setup, and he'll be that lone man up front.
Paul, as always, great insight. We thank you very much. This is great prep for the Dynamo Montreal tomorrow. You can get it right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Our pregame show starts at 6 o'clock, and you just might hear a soundbite from Paul Dolan in that pregame show. Paul, thank you as always.
Happy to do it anytime, Glenn.
All right, he's the best. Paul Dolan, Apple TV, Canadian national team goalkeeper, and longtime coverage of Major League Soccer. We appreciate that insight coming from north of the border. As we take a break here, we just want to remind you, Hugh O'Connor's Pub, if you want the authentic soccer pub experience, Liverpool Supporters Group goes over there. You go out to the I-10 Marquee Entertainment Center, go in there, say hello to David and Goose, Bangers and Mash, Shepherd's Pie, fish and chips, all the essentials, great whiskey offering, great beer offering. It's Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10 Marquee Entertainment Center. Let's take a break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm.
ESPN 97.5.com. Take his pork chop.
I don't want his pork chop. I want his life.
Hello, Houston. Jan Christensen from Danish Inspirations, modern contemporary furniture in Houston since 1982. Here with the Danish Dynamite segment at Soccer Matters. Yes, a great day of Champions League. FC Copenhagen, who two weeks ago, played a 2-2 tie with Galatasaray in Turkey and were hopeful for at least a point today. And FC Copenhagen against Bayern Munich, we got up 1-0 and it looked all good, but then Bayern scored two goals. So 2-1 to Bayern Munich, but a great performance by FC Copenhagen, which held Bayern Munich for large periods of the game. But I must also say that Bayern Munich played a very poor game. I don't know what's going on with the team. It's like Manchester United, they are very up and down, but at least they're winning, you know, compared to Manchester United, who, by the way, lost 3-2 to Galatasaray, where Rasmus Højlund, the great Dane, scored two goals and got all that spoiled by three goals by Galatasaray. And of course, a Casemiro red card that cost them the game. I still don't understand why he didn't take Casemiro out. He had a yellow card, and he's known to be very aggressive. But it's easy for me to say now. So FC Copenhagen, again, a great performance. Two great games by FC Copenhagen, but only 1 point. So we got to take points from Galatasaray in Copenhagen and take points from Manchester United in Copenhagen. So we'll see what happens. At Danish Inspirations, you know, we consider ourselves the finest modern contemporary furniture store in town. We got great stuff from Italy, from Denmark, from Norway, and especially our stressless recliners, stressless sofas are just out of this world. Probably the most comfortable seating you will find. So come on into Danish Inspirations at 2775 Farndon near Westheimer, or go to danishinspirations.com. We are red, we are white, we are Danish Dynamite.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, final segment of the night here, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. By the way, John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they have supported this show from day one. 713, call now. They're bilingual. Car, boat, motorcycle accident, any of these difficult situations you get in, you need representation. Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, presenting sponsors of Soccer Matters, which leads us to a great final segment of the night here. He is the head coach of the University of Houston Cougars. His women's team coming off a win over West Virginia University 2-1. And of course, he grew up playing the game on the fields here in Houston, Texas. So he's one of our own. He's Jaime Frias. Jaime, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Glenn. Always a pleasure.
All right. So, you know, you've been doing some really good work here, changing the culture at U of H. You had a 6-match winning streak in the beginning of the year. Then you hit a little bit of a down period, but you come out of it with a huge victory over West Virginia University. And I mean, this has got to be kind of a historic moment for the program in the Big 12.
It is, especially a win of that magnitude for us against such a storied program. You know, that program and those coaches have been to NCAA final. A bad year for them is the second round or the Sweet 16. And so for us to come out not only with a win, but a performance and a game plan that could have put us in a position to win that game, executing the game plan, and then coming up with 3 points was huge. And I think it's memorable. I think it's resonating within our athletics department as the first team in the Big 12 to get a win in any sport. We were the first team at the University of Houston to participate in the Big 12 when we played Texas Tech. So there's a lot of firsts there, and we're just so proud of how far this program has come, and it's been a long time coming here, this first win here for us.
Jaime Frias, the head coach of U of H, by the way, Thursday at Kansas State, Sunday at Kansas. You can catch these games on ESPN, and you can see your hometown team. So look, the WVU game, I saw a quote from you, how important it was to get a result for self-belief, because you had lost 5 in a row. And in those 5 in a row games, though, these were like one goal losses to UCF, Oklahoma, Iowa State. These are all Big 12 teams. Outside of the Tech game, these were really, really close games. So this probably made this even more important.
It did. And Glenn, you know, for anyone that's watched this, we've been awfully close in those last few games. The last two in particular, outside of West Virginia, we were in the lead. And for us, it's just the mindset. As you know, in high performance, in elite athletics, the mindset, the mentality of in which you go about attacking a match is important outside of technical and tactical execution. So for us to come out and perform the way we did and finish out a game in the way that we did and get the 3 points really is going to help solidify that kind of mindset that's needed and required to be successful in the Big 12.
Cougars 7-5-1 right now. In your mind, you happy where the process is? Because I know this is a process. I know it's going to take a couple of seasons to get where you want in a couple of recruiting classes.
Very much so. I think we're actually ahead of the curve here. As we laid out our vision, I think we're further along than we thought we were going to be in year two, really, or year one in the Big 12. As you can see, we're playing against programs with a lot of history, have been in the league for a long time. And as a newcomer in the league, I think we're awfully competitive right off the get-go. And we're in matches and in positions to win those games. Like I said, I think it's just once we have this belief now, hopefully we can turn this thing around. And our goal is to get into the conference tournament, seeing if this happens here for us.
Conference tournament will be up in Round Rock, Texas. Good venue for that. So that would be a nice little trip up 290, I guess, or 71. Talking to Jaime Frias, head coach of the University of Houston. Okay, and by the way, this is you score first against WVU with Alexis Folks, Taylor White, who you probably scouted as one of their most dangerous players, haven't seen WVU this year. She tied it up, and then you get a winner from, I think it's Sophia Weber, right?
That's correct. And 2 set play goals for us. For us, we've been bitten by the set play goal bug against UCF, against Oklahoma, and against Iowa State, we've let up set play goals. So we've been focusing on not only denying set play goals, but scoring set play goals. So for us to go out, execute the game plan, like I said, and get 2 set play goals is just a cherry on top to help us win that match. And yes, she was a handful of that player that scored the goal. And it was a 1v1, and that matchup was a good one for them. And she's a talented player, finished her chance well. But I thought we did extremely well and limited their chances throughout the match.
How about in the goalkeeping department? I've heard a lot about Olivia Dietrich.
Olivia's, she's a second-year player, but she's a freshman as far as her experience. She redshirted. She's a transfer from Texas Tech. She's an awfully good talent. She just needs experience in matches. And so although she's a sophomore, she's really a first year as far as her experience is concerned. So each game, she continues to get better. She's making some huge game-changing saves for us, which are keeping us in matches. She did against West Virginia as well. And we're just so happy with her progress.
Jaime Frias joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. You know, look, you've been a coach of a lot of big coaching staffs. You've coached youth international teams representing the United States. You were with Steve Swanson at Virginia. You know what the ACC is all about. How do you position ACC women's soccer to the way it's played in the Big 12? What are the differences, if any?
I think the biggest difference right now in the ACC, if I had to be objective, is it's they have more depth at the top end. And so what I would say is the top 6 to 8 teams are closer together than in any other conference that I've seen play. I think there's a bigger drop off in the other Power Five leagues or in any other league, but I think that's what makes them that particular league a little bit unique. But I do feel like there's more parity in this conference. I think the thing that I like about these conferences, whether that's SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, is that anyone can beat anyone any given day, which makes it that much more exciting for the fans, I guess, which is a good thing. And so if anything, I think that's what's right now separating us a little bit from that particular league.
I mean, the transfer portal, and you know, I mean, it's pretty amazing for me because I do college soccer, and I'll see a player that's now a fifth year graduate student, you know, playing for a team that, you know, she was on another team the year before, which was very, very successful, went in the NCAA. And I'm like, you know, is this healthy? Honestly, is this a little bit dangerous, the portal and everybody bouncing around?
It could be if, you know, it's situational, right? Just like anything else in life. So it's a good thing for some players in that, you know, for these fifth year COVID years, the school that they're in might not have their graduate degree in these, want to take advantage of their playing time, and they want to go to a program that has that particular degree that they're interested in. What I don't like about it is that, you know, at times you have to show resiliency as a young player to get playing time, to get into the lineup. And I think the transfer portal creates an environment where you don't have that kind of stick-to-itiveness all the time. You can transfer out and get playing time somewhere else, as opposed to, are you willing to put in the work to develop, to get to the place where you need to, in order to start at the place that you're in. And so I'm a little bit cautious when it comes to that, because I don't think that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at. It's just like, well, it's going to negate now the player and coach relationship. And hey, if things don't go right for me, well, I just go in the transfer portal and I go somewhere else. And so, yeah, I agree with you. I think that is the slightly dangerous part of it. How much of I get the sense, because you're a Houston guy, you grew up on these fields, you know, we're proud to say that Jaime Frias, a Houston soccer product, is coaching the U of H women's soccer team. This is the way it should be, because we have so much talent that has gone off, gained experience. We should be utilizing this. And it's great that U of H hired you. I was so excited when I heard that they hired you. But I get the sense you want to make this program a bigger piece of the community and a bigger piece of the Houston soccer scene. And part of that maybe comes from being a guy that grew up here.
It is. I think, you know, the roots are deep. A lot. I don't know if your listeners know this or not, but you coached me, you and Tony Johnson, you being my primary coach, with a little shout out to the Hurricanes 1976 team. But, you know, you're right. We trained at Bear Creek Park. I know these parks. We would play at Meyer Park with the old Dallas Tech, the Houston Texans teams. And so, yes, it just seeing my former teammates now be coaches in the community and wanting this community to be successful because of how much this community gave to us and us wanting to give back is such an important piece. We're just not coaching here for the wins. When you get a guy here that finds value in the area that they grew up in, we want to give back. We want to make sure we make the impact that those before us made on us. And we want to get out and also have a good connection with the club teams around the area to make sure that they know that We want to be supportive of them as much as we want them to be supportive of us.
I mean, when you look out at your roster build, and maybe you're looking out and you're foreshadowing, because I know you probably have long-term goals and things that are set for specific years, but how much of the roster percentage-wise do you want to be Houston area kids ultimately?
I think we want to put a fence around Houston. We want the best Houston kids to stay here, and why not? I think we offer great academics here within the university. It was rated top 70 school public university in the country, which is a big notch, and it's making progress. I think we're now affiliated with a Power 5 conference in the Big 12. And so we want to make sure that the best Houston area kids and the best Texas kids stay here in the state and in our city. And so we're going to work awfully hard for those players to leave this place, and we're going to make sure that we identify them and recruit them as much as we can.
Well, Jaime, best of luck. It's Thursday for the U of H Women's Cougars. They are taking on Kansas State Thursday. Sunday, they will take on Kansas. So it's a road trip to Kansas, two big games in the Big 12, and it comes fast. Big 12 tournament around the corner, then the NCAA selection. So it's all rolling real fast. Jaime, thank you so much for coming on tonight. Congratulations for the first ever Big 12 win for U of H over WVU. And best of luck on your road trip.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you for having me. Always appreciate you.
All right. A big thank you to Jaime Frias to end it up here tonight. And a big thank you to all of our guests. Artur, of course, the Dynamo midfielder, and Paul Dolan of Apple TV, the former Canadian national team goalkeeper. Big thank you to Brian McDonald, Guillermo Lazo Romero. You can get and subscribe to the podcast of this show, Spotify, Apple, Google. Make sure you get there, or you can get it at ESPN975.com. Don't forget, tomorrow night, it's the Houston Dynamo and CF Montreal. Our pregame show starts at 6 p.m. Bobby Boswell joining me on the call for that. And, of course, hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Sock, at Soccer Matters GD, LamontBrands.com for your Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats to benefit the Snowdrop Foundation. I'm Glenn Davis. Until next Tuesday night, remember, soccer matters.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
Have you paid your dues, Jack? Yes, sir. The check is in the mail.